Genesis chapter 28. And if you were paying attention to the hymns and the psalm we sang this morning, you will no doubt have guessed our text for today. It is verse 19. Genesis 28, verse 19. And he called, that is Jacob, the name of that place Bethel or Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Want today to speak about Bethel, the house of God. Jacob was compelled to leave his father's house after he had cheated his brother Esau out of the blessing. He had to leave home because the enraged Esau threatened to slay him. In the previous chapter, chapter 27, verse 41, we read, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Terrible thing when hate finds its way into the heart. We see here that the heart of Esau was filled with hate. Esau hated Jacob. And it was there in his heart. For Esau said in his heart, I will slay Jacob. And so for this reason, Jacob had to leave home because of this terrible threat. And Jacob went out from Beersheba, we're told, and went toward Haran. It was there, at a certain place, that Jacob rested for the night. And after a journey of approximately 40 miles, he lay down to sleep under the open canopy of heaven, with nothing but hard stones as his pillow. It was there, while he lay upon those stones, that Jacob had a dream. It was no ordinary dream, because in that dream, God met the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, and one who was soon to be the God of Jacob also. Jacob was so impressed by what he saw in that dream that when he awoke, he built a pillar there and named that place Bethel. We know, of course, that Bible place names have great meanings, and some of them very significant meanings as well. And the name which Jacob chose for that place, where he had that unusual dream and that meeting with God, was Bethel, or the house of God, as Bethel means. And even though he was miles from any building, with only the night sky as his covering, yet Jacob called that place the house of God. The question that arises from this then is, why? Why did Jacob call that place the house of God, even though there was no house there? Even though there was no building there, he was in the desert place, traveling from Beersheba to Haran. Why did he call it the house of God? That will be the basis of our study this morning. And I pray that the evidence that we gather from our study, that we will be able to apply it to this house of God. That indeed we will be able to look upon this place and say that this is Bethel. First of all, we look at these words in verse 19, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at first. He called it Bethel, the house of God, because it was the place of a manifestation of God. Did you notice in our reading of this passage of Scripture how often the word place is repeated? Look there in verse 11. And he lighted upon a certain place, tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place, put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep three times. But that's not all. You go down to verse 16, Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Again, verse 17, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? And now in our text, and he called the name of that place. Here the Lord, the Holy Spirit, inspired Moses to write these words. And so here we have the Holy Spirit emphasizing the importance of this place. It is repeated six times. The Spirit of God is emphasizing the importance of the place. And that place became known as the house of God. And dear Christian, this morning, here we are in the house of God. And we may ask ourselves the question, how important is this place to us? That place turned out to be very important to Jacob. He never forgot that place. On his way home again, on his return 20 years later to his father's house, Jacob went back to the same place. He went back to the house of God. He went back to Bethel. And so you can see that even after 20 years, that place was important to Jacob. The house of God was important to Jacob. How important is the house of God to us? I believe that the house of God should be important to us outside our own homes. The most important place for us should be the house of God. The child of God, I'm sure, many of us look forward to the Sabbath day and look forward with great anticipation to going up to the house of God. And so we can say with the psalmist as we sang that psalm this morning, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Just the very thought of going to the house of the Lord gladdened the heart of the psalmist. Believer, does the thought of going to the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day, does it gladden our hearts? When we awake on the first day of the week, are we glad it is the Sabbath day? We're going to God's house today. It ought to gladden our hearts. The Christian should have a great love for the Lord's house, as David again had a great love for the Lord's house. For he said in Psalm 26, verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house. I love thy house. And the place where thine honor dwelleth. Do we not long to be in the house of the Lord? Can we not also say with David, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's how much David loved God's house. He could have dwelt in the Lord's house all the days of his life. Oh, dear child of God, is the Lord's house as important as that to us? Is it to us indeed the house of God? I think of Hezekiah, the great king of Judah. And Hezekiah, when he came to the throne, the first thing Hezekiah did was to open the doors of the house of God. Because up until that time, the doors of God's house had been closed. The worship of the Lord had been neglected. It was non-existent. But when Hezekiah came to the throne, he opened the Lord's house. Why? Because he had a love for God's house. And then you recall some time later, Hezekiah was sick unto death. The Lord told him, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And we are told that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he wept and he prayed. And then the Lord spoke to the prophet Isaiah, and told him to go back to Isaiah, or go back to Hezekiah. Tell him, I have heard his prayer, I have seen his tears, and in 3 days, he will go into the house of the Lord. And there was Hezekiah sick, nigh unto death, and what was upon his heart? Getting back to the house of the Lord. And the Lord said to Hezekiah, you'll be back in God's house in 3 days. That's how much he loved the Lord's house. My, if we're laid aside for any length of time, I'm sure the thing that we miss most of all is getting to God's house. Certainly that'll be the case if we love the Lord's house. If it's important. The house of the Lord is important to us. So the good emphasis here put upon the place. And he called that place the house of God. First of all, that place where the Lord manifested his presence and his power to Jacob was the place of God's providence. The place of God's providence. Look at verse 11. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. In verse 11, and he lighted upon a certain place. He lighted on a certain place, and there he gathered some stones, pile them up, and use them as a pillow, and there he lay down and went to sleep. There he met God. In the providence of God, God's providence had brought him to that place. He could have been anywhere else, but he was in that place. And that place became to Jacob the house of God. Think of it. Jacob was a traveler. He was on a journey. He was a pilgrim. Notice where he was traveling to. Yes, Haran. But notice what it says in verse 2. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel. Bethuel and Bethel, they're very similar. The Bethel means the house of God. Bethuel means the abode of God. And Jacob was going on towards that place which is called here the abode of God. Oh dear Christian, does that not remind us of our pilgrimage? Where are we going? We're going to the abode of God. We're going to God's house. We're going to that place. We're going to heaven. We're going to Emmanuel's land, where we shall see the Lord in all His glory. The Lord fills heaven with His glory. He abides there. The Omnipresent One abides in heaven. He's sitting upon His throne. We are going to the abode of God, but in the meantime, we have our house of God. And it is in the house of God that the Lord will often manifest His presence to us. From time to time He'll show us something of His glory. And when He does, He grants us a little bit of heaven upon earth. It's just a foretaste of glory divine. Jacob was not only a traveler, but notice also the time. We're told that he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Verse 11. So it was night time when Jacob came to that place. It was night for Jacob in a number of ways. Not only the night time, but it was night for Jacob because he was running scared from Esau. He was alone in the wilderness. He was a lonely pilgrim. He had a great burden upon his heart. But it was there when he was alone and burdened, and it was night time, that God was pleased to reveal Himself to Jacob. That place that he called the house of God. Dear Christian, we have walked surely in Jacob's footsteps at some time or another. We have gone to the place, to our Bethel. And we have done so betimes when everything has been night about us. We have gone up to that place, to our Bethel, weary, worried, lonely, sad, burdened. Oh, but how often when we have gone to our Bethel has God been pleased to manifest Himself to us. Like the disciples who labored all night and caught nothing, they were cold, they were disappointed, they were down, they were discouraged, and suddenly they saw the Savior standing on the shore. And he told them to let down the nets on the right side of the ship, and there was a great draft of fishes. God had manifested himself to them. My, how that lifted their spirits. And what did John say? It is the Lord. We've often come to this place, and maybe before we came we didn't feel like coming, because we were going through a nighttime experience. But my, when we got here and the Lord revealed himself to us through his word, we went away saying, I'm glad I came, because the Lord met with me today. Think of the territory. When Jacob slept that night, or where Jacob slept that night, it was a desert place. It was 12 miles north of Jerusalem. No buildings around him, no shelter. He lay upon a pile of stones. He was, as it were, in the middle of nowhere. But it was there the Lord manifested himself to Jacob. And that place became the meeting place between Jacob and his God. There Jacob met with God. You know, believer, you think of it again. We're like Jacob. We're pilgrims. We're journeying on through a wilderness. A wilderness of corruption. A wilderness of sin. Isn't it good that in this wilderness we have our Bethel? Isn't it good that we can turn aside from this ungodly, corrupt, vile world, and we can turn into our Bethel? My, it's a little sanctuary in the wilderness. It's an oasis. And it is here. It is here that we meet with the Lord. We meet with the Lord in our Bethel. Oh, it may it always be so. So was the place of God's providence. Notice also was the place of God's preparation. As Jacob slept there, and he dreamed, and the God of Abraham spoke to him in that dream. For we read in verse 13, and the Lord, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the God of Abraham. God is speaking to Jacob. But I want you to notice something. I want you to notice that God did not speak to Jacob immediately. Jacob lay down. He lighted upon a certain place, tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. First thing that happened in Jacob's dream was that he saw a ladder. And then on that ladder he could see the angels ascending and descending. And then God spoke. And so what Jacob saw first of all prepared the way for Jacob to receive the word from the Lord. A ladder. Notice what it says in verse 12. A ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And at the top of the ladder stood the God of Abraham. In other words, the ladder was used to focus Jacob's gaze upon heaven and upon the Lord God of Abraham. And you know, dear child of God, that's the way it ought to be when we come to God's house. We make our way to the Lord's house. We may have many things upon our minds. But if we want to hear from the Lord, we need to be prepared. We need to have our hearts prepared to receive a word from the Lord. And when we open in prayer, when we read a psalm, when we sing a psalm, when we pray again to the Lord and we sing our hymns, we don't do those things just to fill in the time. We pray, we sing, and we read the Word, so that through those things God might prepare us for the receiving of His Word. In other words, when we pray, and when we sing His praises, and when we read the Word, we are preparing ourselves, or God is preparing us, to receive a word from Himself. He's focusing our attention upon heavenly things. He's focusing our attention upon Him. When Jacob looked up that ladder, there at the top of the ladder, he saw the Lord standing. And oh, dear child of God, once more, when we draw aside, turn our back upon the world, and come into God's house, let us not be thinking about the world, but thinking about heaven. Let us not be focusing on the world, but focusing on heaven. The opening exercises of our worship service are always to be regarded as the preparing of our hearts to worship God. Preparing our hearts to receive a word from the Lord. If we are not in tune with heaven, if we don't have our mind and our thoughts on heavenly things, the word will be spoken, but will not take anything home from that word. We need to have our minds fixed upon the Lord. We need to pray, Lord, prepare my heart. Proverbs 16, verse 1 tells us, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Preparations of the heart are from the Lord. That's what we should pray. Lord, as we sing and as we pray and as we read the Word, Lord, prepare me. Work in my heart, prepare me to hear the Word, that my heart is open and ready to receive Thy truth. Because we're in the house of God. The place of God's providence, the place of God's preparation, is also the place of God's portrait. Yes, God's portrait. Now we don't agree with portraits of the Lord. We're not to have portraits or pictures of the Lord. The only portraits of our Lord that we want to see are the portraits of the Lord that God Himself gives us in His Word. That's the only pictures we want. Pictures of the Lord Jesus. And here we have a picture of the Lord Jesus. Jacob was given a picture of Christ in that dream. And we have it there in the form of the ladder. And he dreamed, and behold, the ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. My, if the Lord Himself had not given us the interpretation of Jacob's dream, there had been a lot of speculation about what the ladder meant. But the Lord has told us Himself, John 1, verse 51, and He saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The ladder is a picture of Christ. The ladder is a picture of the Lord Jesus. And mark this, that before God spoke to Jacob, before Jacob heard the voice of God, he saw Jesus Christ in the form of this ladder. And he said, this is the house of God. You know, believer, if the Lord Jesus is not seen, if we are not given pictures, portraits of the Lord Jesus in the house of God, then God is not in that house. If the people who attend the house of God are not told about Jesus Christ, then that house is not the house of God, because God's not in the house. Indeed, there is God written above it. The glory hath departed. And the church that cannot show its people Jesus Christ will never experience any manifestations of God's presence and power. Notice how the Holy Spirit records this for us. It is written, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. Three times you have the word behold. Verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. The end of the verse, and behold, the angels of God. And verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder. We know the word behold means look or see. John the Baptist used that word when he said to his followers, behold, look, see the Lamb of God. And dear child of God, when we come into God's house, we come into God's house to see and to behold Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And may we ever behold the Savior. And when we see Him, when we see Jesus, we'll be able to say, well, Jacob, this is none other than the house of God. God is in this place, for we have seen Him. That's what we want. Notice also it was the place of God's presence. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Jacob was under the open canopy of heaven. We've already said there wasn't a building within 12 miles of Jacob. There was no house there. Yet he called it Bethel, the house of God. Why did he call it the house of God? Because the Lord's presence was there. He said, the Lord is in this place. That's what made it the house of God. God's presence. And dear believer, it's not not the beautiful architecture of a building that makes the church the house of God. It's not the ornate furniture. It's not the size of the building or the size of the congregation. It's not the eloquence of the minister or the preaching of the preacher that makes it the house of God. What is it makes it the house of God? God's presence. That's evidence. For Jacob there was nothing but a pile of stones. But he said this is the house of God because God's presence was there. Look again how the Lord manifested his presence to Jacob. When he first came to that place, he was unaware that the Lord was there at all. That's what he says. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. But when I gathered those stones, set them down and lay upon them, used them as a pillow, I didn't know the Lord was there. I didn't know the Lord's presence was there. But after he dreamed that dream, he knew. Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely this is none other than the house of God. You know there may be those who will come into this house. And they will come into this house as a church. They'll see it as a church building. Nothing more than that. But we pray that they'll not be too long in the house till they realize God is here. This is God's presence. Presence is here. We want people to know that indeed this is the true Bethel. This is the house of God. And God is here. That's what makes it the house of God. His presence. Not only was it the place of the manifestation of God, but it was the place of the communication from God. The Lord brought Jacob there that night that he might speak with him. That's why he brought him there. In God's providence, Jacob lighted upon a certain place, tarried there all night, and at that place where God had brought him, God spoke to him. In God's providence, believer, the Lord brings us here, has brought us to this house. He brings us here each Sabbath day. Why? He wants to speak to us. Because he has a word for us. That's why we come. God brings us that he might speak. And here the Lord spoke with Jacob. First of all, notice the meeting at that place. Jacob met with the God of Abraham and Isaac that night. And following that meeting, he called that place Bethel, the house of God. When we come to God's house, to the house of God, it is for the purpose of meeting with God. As far as Jacob was concerned, first of all, it was Jacob's first meeting with God. Jacob hadn't met with God before. The Lord in his providence brought Jacob to that place that he might speak with him, that he might meet with him. Jacob, you remember, the supplanter. Jacob, the schemer. Jacob, the cheat. Jacob, the deceiver, met with the Lord at Bethel, and Jacob was changed. Jacob was a different man after he met with the Lord at Bethel. For it says in verse 21, so that I come again to my Father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Jacob never said that before. But he said it at Bethel. He said it at that place where he met God. And oh, believer, that's what we should pray for. That God in His providence would bring people into this place, into this Bethel, where people might meet with God for the first time. That sinners will meet with God and be converted and be changed and will be able to say with Jacob, the Lord is my God. That's what we want. Sinners to be saved. That's what the true house of God is all about. Place for sinners to be saved. Drunkards to be made sober. The vile to be made pure. The corrupt to be made holy. The wayward to be brought home. That's what we want. We want this house to be a rescue mission, a yard from the gates of hell, where men and women meet with God and many meet with Him for the first time. Notice also, not only was it the first meeting, look at the form of the meeting. We've already noted that the ladder set up in the earth, the top of which reached to heaven. The ladder is a portrait or a picture of Christ. The Lord met with Jacob. He was standing there at the top of the ladder. And there was Jacob upon the earth. The Lord in heaven, Jacob on the earth, and in between was the ladder. What was it linked Jacob with the God of Abraham? The ladder, Jesus Christ. What is it that links us with the God of heaven? Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. How may we meet with the God of Abraham? Only through Jesus Christ. We don't meet with God through a priest or a saint or through Mary. We meet with God through Jesus Christ. We don't meet with God and hear from God through charismatic revelations. We meet with God and hear from Him through Jesus Christ. We read this morning before our prayer meeting, Hebrews chapter 1, the first verse says, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. By His Son. The God of Abraham spoke to Jacob, as it were, through His Son. He speaks to us through His Son. We come to God's house to hear the word of the Lord, and we hear it through God's Son. We meet with God through His Son. Notice not only there the meeting in that place, but the message. The word the Lord had for Jacob was a word of great blessing. Look at it there in verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee, and so on. The word that Jacob received from God was a word of great blessing. the word of blessing. Jacob could look to that place there in the desert and say, God bless me there. My, what a word that was. It blessed me. Oh, isn't that what we want? When we come to God's house, we go up to the Lord's house, we engage in prayer and in the singing of the psalms and the hymns to prepare our heart. And my, when we receive the word, it's good when we can go away and say, that was a blessing to me today. The Lord bless me through his word today. As we read in Psalm 65, in Psalm 65, and there in verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Blessed is the man. He's blessed. I trust we'll always be blessed, believer, when we come into God's house and receive a word that is a blessing to our souls. Notice also not only the meeting and the message, but the marvel. Because Jacob awoke and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. First of all, you have his dread. Great fear came upon him because he was in God's presence. So it should be. So it ought to be. Not only do you have his dread, but his decision. This is none other than the house of God, and then he decided to call it Bethel. It used to be called Luz. But that place to Jacob would never be known as Luz ever again. It would be known as Bethel. The house of God. And believer, whatever this place means to us, when we meet with God, it'll mean something else. It may mean to us today a church. It's what it is, a church. But if we meet with God in this place, it'll mean something different. We'll be able to say, that's not just a church, that's the house of God. That's where I met with God. Notice his discernment. And with this we'll have to close. For he said in verse 17, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. My, what a wonderful experience Jacob had that day. He met with God. And Jacob is here saying, it's as if I had been to heaven. It's as if I had been to the very gates of heaven. Such was my meeting with God. He didn't reach the third heaven like Paul. But when he met with God there in Bethel, he went to the very gates of heaven. Oh, dear child of God, may when we come to this place, may the Lord take us away from the world and lead us, at least for the time we're here, to that place where the air is pure and ethereal. May he take us into the heavenlies. May we forget the world and forget our worries and our problems and our cares and just be taken up with God. We'll be able to say, I was at the very gate of heaven today. Wouldn't it be wonderful? It was also the place of dedication. Jacob's response? He built an altar. He wanted to mark the spot where he had met with God. I trust that many will mark this spot as a place they met with God. That souls will be able to say, you know, I was born there. Give his response. Give his remembering. He built the altar because he didn't want to forget that place. And you also have his resolve. For he said, or Jacob vowed a vow, dedicated himself to the Lord. May this be a place where many will dedicate themselves to the Lord. And then he said, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. I, when our heart is full of joy and overflowing with having met with God, we'll be ready to give our tithes and our offerings. We'll not want to hold them back. Our heart will be so full of joy, we'll give and give again, and the Lord loves a cheerful giver. This is the house of God. May it always be so. May it always be God's house. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious, loving Father, we bless Thee for that Bethel that speaks to us of the house of God. Lord, may Port Hope Free Presbyterian Church be a Bethel, the house of God. Lord, we know there are many buildings in this town and further afield that go under the name of church. But those churches are not the houses of God. For the Lord is not there. Lord, ever abide with us here. May every word be a blessing to our souls. So our gracious Father, be with us now as we leave this meeting house. As we leave this Bethel, as we journey on as Jacob did, Lord, may we ever remember this place. It's a place God spoke to us and we met with Him. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.